Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Sutton service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
Thanks, Andy. Always exciting to be at Sutton. Very good to see you all. I have been looking forward to spend some time with you this morning. And for those of you that are meeting for the first time, just so you know, the reason for my accent is I am from Denmark, but I have been living here in the UK for more than 7 years now, so I have no excuses left. I should be speaking better than this, but this is what you get this morning. So hopefully you will slowly understand what I'm talking about. I'm really pleased to be here. And two things that I'm just kind of catching just by being with you this morning, being part of the worship, looking at you guys. Number one, I didn't know that Andy would be talking about you, Heather, this morning. But to me, that is really the talk. It's the essence what I'm going to talk about this morning, the story of what you, who you are, and what has come out of that in your ministry. So I echo what Andy is saying, and it's actually people who make that sort of choices are the people that God is using to build his kingdom. So it means so much. The other thing was actually a phrase came to my mind as I was standing in worship. So my headline for my talk is the gift of community, but I actually received another headline as I was standing there, which kind of took me a bit by surprise, which is the Sutton blessing. So I'm going to speak on the Sutton blessing this morning. We'll see where that goes. It does connect, I can see that, with the talk. But what came with that was the sense that sometimes there's a sense God's speaking. Some of you would know what I'm talking about. Just a sense that he interrupts your thoughts and talks about things. And I felt like I should say something to those of you guys who were around for four years ago. And that is that what I'm going to talk about today is actually what you guys chose when you chose one another. And what you see today coming out of that is a result of you choosing community and to stick with it. So I do sense that the message today that I have is kind of twofold. On the one hand, it's God encouraging all of you guys, saying what you have is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's his blessing, it's a strength of yours. So he's not pointing to a weakness of yours, rather he's pointing to a strength. He's recognizing it and he's encouraging it. And at the same time, what I sense is him saying that this is your calling, this is your mission, this needs to grow so it becomes a blessing not only to yourself, but to many more people, even more than you can imagine. The Sutton blessing. There was something which historically was called the Toronto blessing, and some of you old ones like me, you would know what that was about. It was back in the 1990s. And the blessing on one church was so enormous that it affected most parts of the world. Some of the things that we experience even today, some of the strength of, for example, the Alpha Course that many people have heard about, that actually came out of the Toronto blessing. So it has such a huge effect across the world. So sometimes God does something in people who would see themselves as very vulnerable, very frail, but then he comes with his power, his Holy Spirit, and he just does his thing, which is amazing and beyond our imagination. So as I'm saying this, I'm not imagining people who sit here in a sense of strength and power themselves. Actually, a bit the opposite. I'm imagining I'm speaking to broken people. I'm imagining I'm speaking to people who feel like, well, I am very vulnerable. So even to think a thought like that, that I should be part of a blessing reaching out to a multitude of others, that is really not what I have on my mind. Well, God sometimes thinks differently than us. And he has a way of doing what he wants to do. So can I just pray before I move on and start to try to do the talk that I actually plan to do this morning? And what I want to pray is for the Holy Spirit to descend upon each and every one of us who have this desire this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you are in life, whether you feel strong or weak in your position of life right now, allow me to pray this prayer over you. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for being amongst us this morning. And I thank you for the way that you speak to us. Thank you for the way that you show that you have all the power that's needed to carry out your will in our lives when we surrender to you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come upon each and everyone in this room with a deep longing for you. I pray that you will break through thoughts and emotions of vulnerability, of weakness, of powerlessness, even of hopelessness. And you will show yourself in the reality of you in our hearts. Amen. So, the text we are going to share today is from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 to 47. And it says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And they are the first Christian church, and the Holy Spirit has just been poured out over these people. And this is what was happening as a result. And it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So these are the words. This was a description of the first Christian church. This was a description of what came out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And notice how community is so much in the center of it. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They were together. They had everything in common. They gave to anyone who were in need. They continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Can you hear it? It's just community, 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 community all over the place. That's probably not what we traditionally would think. We would think more about, oh, what about the miracles that the apostles did? That's one sentence. Most of the other sentences are about community. Isn't that a little bit interesting? And what was the outcome of this sort of lifestyle? It says that they had glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God. They had favor of all people, which meant that this was really an inclusive community. And the Lord added to their number. This was how God chose to revolutionize first Jerusalem, where this happened. And then from there, it spread like a fire across the world. And in different ways, this is how he has kept doing this thing of his, expanding his kingdom. If you read through church history, every time you read about an outpouring, this is what happens every time. When God's Spirit falls on a particular area or on a particular community, this is the kind of community of fellowship that comes out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And interestingly, when we read church history, sometimes it's the other way around as well. That when people choose to dedicate themselves to live in this sort of community, then God answers by pouring out his Holy Spirit. Then his Holy Spirit falls. We see this principle in Psalm 133, where it says like this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." And then it becomes really poetic. So bear with me, or the psalmist. "It's like precious oil," a picture of the Holy Spirit, "poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe," which is a picture of it coming down on all the people of Israel. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for where, there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So where does God bestow his blessing? He does it when his people live together in unity. How good and pleasant that is. Now, how does it sound to you, this kind of life? Glad and sincere hearts, praising God, favor of all people, the Lord adding to our numbers. Does it sound desirable? Possible? Recognizable? Or impossible? If you ask me, I would say a little bit of it all, and probably a little bit more than that too. I will become a bit more practical at the end of the talk, I think. I really never know how things are going here at Sutton. My talks always get messed up. And my word guy, he knows that. So he was kind of giving me the forgiveness of sins before I even started. So I really appreciate that. But I think there is a need for us to kind of go into the essence, into the theology of what is this Christian community about? What is this unity about? To put it a bit differently, there is a reason why we deeply long for community, even the introverts among us. I'm an introvert, so I never look forward to community, except when it's my grandchildren. But I always love when I'm in community. So that's a typical introvert. Extroverts, they really look forward to it, and when they're in it, they can't get enough. So it's wonderful how different we are, isn't it? But we all need it. We all long for it. And there is a reason why it means so much to us. There is a reason why we get so hurt when community is somehow broken. There is a reason why some of us would rather hear anything else than what I'm speaking about right now. Simply because we have recently experienced to be hurt in some kind of community relationship. And for some of us, it's not only a memory. For some of us, it's a living pain that we go through right now, that some of our relationships are really hurting at this point. And the reason why we have these emotions and reactions is that community is in the absolute core of our essential DNA. We simply can't escape it. We as human beings, we are community. And sorry, I'm a philosopher by training, so you'll get the philosophical way of saying it. We are an I, dependent on being integrated in a we. In other words, without community, without me belonging to a we, myself, my I, will never really materialize. I will never really truly find what I really am on the inside. Now, this is confirmed by some of the major philosophers of the last century. Linguistic philosophers, those who are studying language, they would say that without community, there is no language. Without language, there are no concepts. And without concepts, there is no journey along which we can self-identify, become self-aware, and develop and grow as human beings. It's quite logical, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, he chose another image to talk about this. He talked about the image of a body to describe our total dependency on being in a community. I think there comes a picture up here, which is, I really don't like this picture, but it's a bit gross, isn't it? But it's kind of to say that we only make sense in a body. My finger doesn't make sense without the rest of the hand, and the hand doesn't make sense without the arm, and on it goes. We are really nothing without what we are meant to belong to. And this is then how Jesus puts it in the Gospel of John chapter 17. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a prayer. It's pretty up there, isn't it? Jesus prays that we may be one just as he and the Father. So this is his ambition for community. And I believe we are talking about both marriages, friendships, and church community. Here is the level of ambition. That we are one as Jesus and the Father. So how are they one? Those two. Well, in the Old Testament, we find a prayer prayed by the Jews, which went like this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Hebrew word for one is echad, which can have the meaning of an undividable unity consisting of more entities. So there are more, but you can't really divide them. So when Jesus spoke to the Jews saying, I and the Father, we are one, they knew what he was talking about. They knew that this was coming out of this prayer from the Old Testament. And we hear it from the beginning of creation. God said in plural, let us make man in our image. So God isn't alone. He is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when he chose to make us, he said, let us make man, you, me, in that image of more than one. That is where we come from. So this is Jesus' prayer, that we may become one as he and the Father are one. Now, how can this happen? That is a big question, isn't it? How can we have this sort of unity in our friendships? How can we have this sort of unity in our marriages, if we are in a marriage? How can we have this sort of community in our church communities, amongst us as a service? There is actually only essentially one way that we can have this sort of community. Do you know what that is? We can only have it if we dare to lose ourselves. This is the role model we find in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what they are doing constantly in their community. This is how they are together. The Father is constantly giving everything to the Son. The Son is constantly giving everything back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is glorifying the Father and the Son. Jesus lifts up the Holy Spirit by saying, look forward to the time when he's coming, because he will explain you everything that you need to know. And on it goes. This is how they are together. And when they chose to intervene to breach the gap between them and us, the gap which was created by sin, for them to once more become part of us, there was only one way of doing it. And we have been singing beautifully about it in one of the songs. Jesus had to lose himself for us to be able to lose ourselves to him. That is what real community is. To lose myself to someone else. And there, essentially, there is no community where that is not happening. All other kinds of communities will, in essence, be very superficial. This is the core of community that we were created for as human beings. So this means that when I choose to lose myself to a community or to someone else, then I'm actually also choosing to be my real self. I'm coming back to who I really am as a human being. Wilfried Stinnesen, who was a Belgian Carmelite monk, he expressed it like this. He said, we were not created to live in the prison of our own little self. We were created to go out. To go out of ourselves. And then he explains, the very word existence, which comes from the Latin existere, indicates that the outgoing movement is essential for our very being. Only he who goes out will stand strong. He says our existence is always an existence for others. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Because if I brought around the microphone now and interviewed all of you, and fear not, I will not do that. I'm tempted, but I will not. Most of us would tell stories about situations where we are a bit fatigued, tired, a bit frustrated, maybe very frustrated, and all of it would have to do with community, right? And here we get this story that this is really the only place we are ourselves and where we can live. So we are in a paradox. We are in a dilemma. So therefore the question comes, can I really do this? Can I really lose myself? Is it really possible? In our culture where we say, you do you and I do me. Have you heard that expression? I heard it just the other week at the hairdresser. I hope you admire my up here. It was extremely expensive, but yeah, there you go. That's another story. So in this culture, can you really live like this? Can you have a community like this? Is it even possible? And with our personal stories, we all sit here with our personal fragmented stories, our experiences of ourselves in different communities, all the way back from our childhood and how we related to our parents and other people in our lives. And some of us would actually say that we don't really know what it is that we would lose to Jesus and to others because we are confused about ourselves. Honestly. If that is you, you are in good company. One of the greatest church fathers, Augustine, he prayed this prayer. He said, grant me that I may know myself, that I may know you. So obviously he knew what it was to be confused about. Who am I really in giving myself into the community of the Father? The thing is, if we don't really know ourselves, it's difficult for us to value ourselves. And we can't really give something away that we don't value. Does that make sense? And this is one of our big challenges in my experience. This is a battlefield where many of us are quite stuck because we're like, I'm right there. And how do I really move on from here? We are aware that to become community with others, we need to be at peace with ourselves. We need not to need others for the sake of our own peace, because those kind of communities, they don't really work. Jesus didn't die for us because he needed us. He didn't die for us to complete himself. He already was complete. He died for us because he loved us. So if we lose ourselves to a community or to someone to complete ourselves, community is not what we get. Instead, we reap big disappointments. And for some of us, that is right where we are struggling right now. For some of us, that is what's going on in our marriages right now. I'm trying to get something from the other one because I'm lacking it. And I will never get it. That's the problem. I will always be in need of more. That's never the solution to what I'm needing, what I'm lacking in my life. If the relationship becomes transactional, it's doomed to fail. And yet, there's very often that is where we end up. If you are honest this morning, I think you will say with me, this is me being honest with you, there definitely have been quite a number of times in my marriage where I, one way or the other, have thought she probably owes me this. Because I did that. Right? No? It's funny, people are looking in all kinds of directions now. The same thing in our friendships and the same thing in church communities. When we lose ourselves out of love, community is what we get. And that is a beautiful thing. That is a wonderful thing. That is where the Holy Spirit is at work in a very special way, where everything comes together. So we need to become whole, to let go ourselves, to become one with others, which means that we are in a bit of a pickle. Not many of us would raise our hands and say, look at me, I'm whole, right? I certainly wouldn't. I would probably be more likely to say, look at me, I'm broken. And if that is the case, what is our hope? Well, our hope is that we are becoming whole by coming to Jesus. This is why Jesus said, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. The order of things is absolutely crucial here. It begins with he in me and me in him, so that. This is where the healing process begins. This is where it continues. And as we are becoming whole by growing closer to Jesus, we learn to lose ourselves because we learn that from him. And actually then as we lose ourselves to the others, we start finding Jesus in the others as well. And it becomes a positive circle going on in our lives. So it's a process, which means that there is hope for all of us. No matter what you have thought this far in this talk, no matter how condemned you may have felt along the way, there is hope for you. And there is hope for me. There is hope for us. Just by being in this room, we are in a process of at least opening ourselves for the possibility of growing closer to Jesus. We are in the same boat. And this is how community grows. And this is what leads us to the practical advice that we need to live well in this process where we as frail, incomplete human beings, we are on a journey growing towards stronger community with Jesus and consequently with one another. So, very briefly, I have a few more minutes, right? You haven't kept joy. You had one job to do this morning. Well, Andy, he gave me permission without knowing. Just a few minutes on this one. They devoted themselves to fellowship. So again, culturally, we are a bit at a disadvantage on this one. I don't know what your experience is. I feel like I'm hearing it from more and more people. I hear it from people working at schools, how they are dealing with quite impossible parents who are demanding the impossible of the teachers and the school because of their special little children. I hear it from people working at hospitals, how they are being abused by patients because they want a treatment bigger, faster than the others around them. I hear from people working in retail stores that there is a lack of tolerance and acceptance and a lot of abuse is happening. So even in some of the stores where I am at, they have signs now about warning not to abuse the people working there. And it's not because of me, just saying that. But I've seen the signs. And there's, of course, a reason why they feel like they need to put up those signs. So this is how things are developing. Completely different from what we are talking about here, where it says that they devoted themselves. They gave themselves rather than asking, how can the community help me? So I'm just asking the question this morning, what would it mean to you personally if you were to make an intentional choice about devoting yourself to this community today? And I'm not going to suggest what that might be, but I am encouraging you to open up for a conversation with you and God or the Holy Spirit. What might that be? What would that look like? Is there something that you have kept at a distance that you should no longer keep at a distance, that God is really speaking to you about in terms of really devoting yourself to this community? Are there things going on in your marriage where you have kept yourself at a distance, where you need to devote yourself again? What about those of us who have been hurt by Christian communities? Because that happens, right? We come so close to one another, and when we do, there's always a risk of hurting one another. Let me just say this. there's always a risk of being hurt again. Even here, in this wonderful service, there's always that risk when we are in a community. But there is a guarantee that we will hurt ourselves if we don't devote ourselves to community, because that is what we were created for. It's said here in the text that they were together. And as I was praying over that, praying for you guys, what came to me was this sentence: don't give up on being together. I know it's a very simple thing to say, but I felt like I needed to say that. Don't give up on being together. And I also sensed that I needed to say that to some of the couples here today, that you exist together, but some of you couples are not really living together any longer. And you need to start living with one another again as lovers, as friends, and as partners. It's not just a thing. It's a calling. It's a kind of community that God has called us for. Marriage is not just a practical institution. It's a calling. As well as friendships are callings, and church community is a calling. It comes from God, which makes it a calling to us as human beings. We can't just treat it in any way we like. So please, husbands and wives, listen to this today. I think for some of you, it's become a habit of yours. And it's time to stop that habit. Simply say, no longer. We will start to live together again. Lovers, friends, and partners. And if we need help, we will get help. Okay? And I also felt like that this was God's word for some of you guys when it comes to your relationship to the church community. That you have felt like you had reasons to be a bit kind of mentally in the outskirts. So you have developed an ability to be there without really being there. Do you know what I mean? Some of you do. And the sense what God is calling you back to really be together again. Be there with all of you. There's a reason why you felt like you needed to have those boundaries, but you probably had them for too long now. So they have become a prison rather than a help to you. Get out of that prison and start being together for real again in church community. The band, you can come up now and rescue the poor congregation. They continued to meet together. Isn't that interesting? It's the most obvious thing on this list of different things that they did. And yet it's repeated twice. They were together and they continued to meet together. So I believe what it's talking about here is the perseverance part of community. You stay with it. And you guys who are new to congregation, just to say the reason why you're sitting in a lovely service today, experiencing an adventure with a Cantonese speaking service on the other side with 1,000 children and all of the things going on, which is an amazing adventure, is because there was a little group of people who simply persevered, who kept on and on and on. And if this is growing, going to grow to the next level and become the salt and blessing, this group of people needs to do the same. That creates a new foundation for the next move, for the blessing to reach to so many more people. And it needs to reach to many more people. This is why the calling goes in all of the directions of community that you are part of. It's in your marriage, it's in your friendships, it's in your community group, it's in the service. God is working through it all, and He needs to work through it all. You can just start playing so wonderfully, beautifully, as you always do, James. So, two things to finalize this, and you may want to stand, stretch a little bit. In Ephesians 4, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Which says two things. The unity is of the Spirit. We can't produce it ourselves. And it's given to us as a gift by the Holy Spirit. And we will pray for that in just a moment. For the Holy Spirit to be poured out over us, over our friendships, over our marriages. And you couples, you may want to hold hand or whatever you want to do and receive that together. If you're standing next to a friend, you might just whatever you want to do to symbolize. As friends, we are receiving this. And then we receive the calling of the Holy Spirit and we dare to ask, how can I make every effort? How can I grow in my efforts to keep this unity? What is the calling of my life, in my marriage, in my friendships, in this community? How can I? Holy Spirit, I dare to invite you to speak. I hope you dare to do that. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for this wonderful presence of you in this room today. And Holy Spirit, would you come? Father, I pray with Jesus that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on this congregation. Father, I pray that this will become the certain blessing to many people beyond this room. In the midst of our frailty, in the midst of our vulnerability, in the midst of our struggling friendships, in the midst of our frail marriages, Holy Spirit, would you come and call us again, renew us again, Holy Spirit? And would you speak to us? Would you call us into the efforts that we need to make to keep this unity that you give us as a gift? Holy Spirit, would you come? We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.